They done? Okay.
Phil Hendry.
1-800-449-8686 and 5201-KFI. 1-800-5201-KFI. And there goes Carell and Andrew off into the sunset. A Marvy thing there from Ireland, where they're broadcasting live, and then they are going to do the Bill Handel show tomorrow morning, and then they're doing the night show next week. And I love those guys, and I know they're bitterly depressed by these events. They must be. David told me to be kind. Am I being unkind? Is that unkind? Okay. Well, I want them to feel better about things. That's all I want to do. I just want them to feel good about the fact that they've got, not only do they have a job, they got a great job. I mean, I don't want to go into my career. Should I start digging into my career again? Do you want me to start talking about my career again? Is it time for Phil to sit you on his knee, all of you, and tell you how it all kind of works out? Isn't that boring when I start saying things like, in my 27 years? Isn't it? It's not? Let me see. I've been fired. Oh, by the way, our karaoke machine is ready to go. And tonight, let me say this. The Communism is Neat 1999 Best of the Phil Hendry Show CD is going to be sold in a radiothon, 1-800-260-4534. And we have the karaoke machine going. So we're going to be broadcasting from two spots in the 8 o'clock hour, in our studio and in the Phil Hendry Theater, where Margaret Gray will be holding down the fort. Bud Dickman will be there, along with Harvey Wireman, R.C. Collins, and a host of entertainers. Don't forget the number, 1-800-260-4534. That's 1-800-260-4534. If you would like to buy a copy of our Communism is Neat CD, our 1999 Best of the Phil Hendry Show CD. This is our radiothon. And we've also had some interesting news over the last 24 hours. News that may translate into exciting events, but I don't want to say. I don't even want to mention the names of the people who are involved in trying to put together something for the summer. The summer, a concert perhaps, something that we as a show can promote, something that can raise money for my friend's place, and something that we think that for you, the listener, will be very enjoyable, because there are some very, very exciting names of people who are fans of our show and may donate their time for free. I say that, of course, not knowing if they would. I say that, of course, not knowing that nobody's talked to their management, nobody's talked to their agents. I'm just thinking that maybe they'll, you know, want to do it for free. And having heard this, they probably don't want to have anything more to do with me. So I'm glad I made that announcement. And thank you very much and good night. Well, I mean, it was worth a shot. So tonight, 1-800-260-4534. Now, getting back to Uncle Phil. I've been fired from, let's see now. Craig's sitting there. Man, have you got to go down this road again? God. I like it. I'm becoming a parody of myself. 27 years in this business, and I've been fired 6 times. I was fired from K-West. I was fired from WSB Atlanta. I was fired from KVEN. I was fired from the classic rock station. I was fired from WBVM Utica. And I think that's it. That's 5, right? Oh. Huh? Oh, and I was fired from KFI. I was fired from KFI back in... In fact, I never put that on my resume because I never considered that time at KFI to be anything that I, A, was proud of, B, that I wanted anybody to know anything about. In other words, I didn't want to have any association with the radio station in those days. But the fact is that I was canned from the station back in February of 90. And then I went out and did whatever the hell it was that I did, tried to reshape my life, you know, got on, did some drugs and had some fun. Did a lot of drugs, had a lot of fun, saw a lot of hospitals, and now here I am. And so that was, how many stations is that, 7 that I've been canned from? I never, ever had anybody say to me, well, Phil, we're going to blow you out of this gig, but we're going to put you into a perhaps advantageous slot, but it's the same bread. You're still going to have a job. We're moving out of this slot, putting you there, and the bread's the same. Never had that happen. So I got to tell you, I think it's a remarkable thing. But, you know, who am I? I don't know those guys. Must be disappointing. What do you want me to say? I love them. I support them. God bless them. I'm glad they're still on the staff. I just wish they'd quit bitching about it. No, I'm kidding. They're fine. They're doing great. And they're over in Ireland, too. How about that? Erin Gobrales. Now, what's this whole St. Patrick's Day thing? What is that? You're Irish, you paint things green, and you puke in a gutter someplace? Great. What a wonderful tradition. Tomorrow is St. Patrick's Day, so naturally I'll be expected to drink. I'll be expected to go out with all of my friends and be the token Mick in the crowd. You're Irish, aren't you, Phil? Yes. Yes. Yes, I am. Have another beer. I don't want another. I said to have another beer. But I don't want to have one. And all of my favorite haunts are all shut down. I used to go to a place called Monahan's in Pasadena. Is that still around? I don't know. I used to go to McGuire's out in Eagle Rock. Is that still around? I don't know. I used to go to the Hat down in Temple City. Is that still around? Who knows? I used to go to my icebox. Used to be stocked with Guinness.
Phil Hendry Show coming down the line in 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3...
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Starting Monday, new time, 4 to 7 Pacific, 7 to 10 Eastern. New time for the Phil Hendry Show. We're very glad that you're with us, and we're very, very happy for the number of radio stations that are along our network, and we know it's just going to turn into an awesome thing. And Santa Rosa's been running us an afternoon drive now for like 2 months, so those guys are up and ready. So that's Monday. And in the interim, we are with you here tonight with our Radiothon, the Communism is Neat Radiothon. This is the Best of the Phil Hendry Show 1999 CD, Communism is Neat. And tonight we will have a Radiothon and afford you the opportunity to purchase the CD by just simply picking up your phone and dialing 1-800-260-4534. Now, that's not all. We're going to have entertainment for you later on in the evening. Margaret Gray will be with us to sing some beautiful numbers. We're going to have entertainment from R.C. Collins. Harvey Wireman will do a recitation. Bud Dickman will also be on hand to tell us just what it's all about. Well, what it's all about is to raise money for my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. They've been doing it for the last 12 years out of the trunk of a car. I'm sorry, Melissa, if I'm belching. We had Pollo Loco tonight. Tastes just as good coming back up as it did going down. And with that number, 1-800-260-4534, you can purchase the Best of the Phil Hendry Show 1999 CD. I had a call from a lady today, was on my voicemail at work, and she said, I don't have a computer. How do I get your CD? This is an opportunity. If you don't have a computer, because the only place that we sell our CD is online, you have to go to philhendryshow.com and buy it that way. But tonight, we're selling it via the airwaves at 1-800-260-4534. It's $20. I believe there'll be a shipping and handling charge, so let's call it $23.50. The people who are standing by to answer your calls will most probably tell you how much it is total, but I think there's probably a $3.50 shipping and handling charge, $20 for the CD. Major credit cards accepted? We'll find out. I'm waiting for our total at the very first break. We'll find out which credit cards are accepted and which aren't. And I probably should have had that information before I went on the air. But I'm not very well organized. This is the Premier Radio Network. What? Mike, why don't you get up off your dead Irish ass and find out whether they're taking... And he ain't even listening to me. You know what? Look at him. He's like, my Bonnie lies over the ocean. My Bonnie lies over the sea. I don't get this. He's like reading a poem. Anyway, we've got to find out what credit cards... call up the number and find out. 1-800-260-4534. That number again? I don't feel like giving it again. No, it's 1-800-260-4534. Pardon me, I'm getting over a cold. So there's going to be a lot of phlegm coming up tonight as well. We're going to entertain you, and periodically I'll be clearing green viscous liquid out of my throat. It'll be great. 1-800-260-4534. Hey, Mike. Do they take MasterCard, Visa? What's the deal, my man? Here's Mike Schaefer to tell you more.
I don't know.
All right, thanks a lot. Part of the what? He doesn't know, man. He's got to call and find out. This is the cheesiest radiothon that I've ever been associated with. It's the only radiothon I've ever been associated with. But right out of the gate, it sucks. Endless legions of mules. Thanks for joining us. Okay, so 1-800-260-4534, and that'll get you the CD. Our first guest this evening, we're going to have on a gentleman who has written a book that, I don't know, Schaefer thought this was interesting. Now, actually, I think it is. It's called The Pet You Don't Know. There are a lot of psychology books having to do with people, obviously. How many books are there that deal with the psychology of animals? Well, there's probably a few of those as well. But what you probably haven't heard is that there is a depressive state that your animal can be in. And Dr. Jim Sadler has written a book about it, and he joins us this evening from San Antonio, Texas. And Dr. Sadler, thank you for being with us, sir. This book was prompted by what?
So this book, I wrote this originally because I had people coming to me, talking to me about their pets, domesticated pets, dogs or cats.
You specialize in animal behavior?
Well, initially my specialty was psychology. Human behavior, and I did branch into animal behavior. There's no such thing really as animal psychology, but there is such a thing as animal behavior. I worked with animal trainers. I worked with some animal behaviorists, some people who are involved in training animals for the blind and for people who are hard of hearing. And through that, I became familiar with the behavior of animals, how they relate to human beings, and some of the information that I was able to gather and some of the data that I gathered was really, really rather shocking. You have a lot of these animals that I have seen, and I would dare say probably most domesticated pets evidence a depression. They evidence, so far as it's possible for an animal to be depressed, they evidence a lethargy and a depressive frame of instinct that I don't think we're aware of.
Now, animals don't have minds, correct?
Animals don't have minds in the traditional sense that we understand that. They do react from instinct, and they do react from memory. They have certain behavior that is burned into the neural pathways of their brains in much the same way that human beings do, with one decided difference. They do not make the judgments that we do make. But they instinctively know when there's something missing. And
well, the animals that you are seeing, or the animals that you're familiar with through animal training and through that, are depressed or unhappy?
They are animals that are exhibiting agitated states. They are animals that are exhibiting an unhappiness. I can't call it a depression. They are unhappy. Most American domesticated animals, Phil, are not happy animals. That's the message that I need to impart to your audience, and we do it through the book, The Pets You Don't Know, which is our way of saying that the animal's true desire is to return to the wild and release their instincts that way, and the only reason that they are around is because they are fed. They would much rather be in the wild.
But they're domesticated.
They are domesticated with one proviso. They come from a wild animal. You cannot breed out of a domesticated animal its instinct for the wild.
So there's a woman or a man listening to us tonight who has a cat that they're going to go home to. They're going to have a dog that they're going to go home to and that they're happy to see. They pet the cat or the dog. They talk to the cat or the dog.
No, I understand they do a lot of those things.
But they're going home to a depressed animal?
They're going home to an animal that would be much happier in the wild, yes.
Are they unhappy being with humans?
They are not unhappy insofar as they're fed. The only reason why animals stay with human beings is because they're what we call kibble whores or milk bone whores. In other words, they eat food. They have food.
Milk bone whore meaning?
Meaning the animal is only with the human being for food.
So that cat and that dog that man or woman will go home to tonight is only there because of the food?
Instinctively, yes, Phil.
And they don't love their owner?
No, per se, there's no such thing as love. The animal, again, cannot draw those judgments. The animal does not have that emotional capacity. What the animal does have a capacity for is instinct for the wild, a desire to return to the wild, because that is the instinct of the animal. They'll settle for kibble, they'll settle for the milk bone, but most of today's pets are food prostitutes. And
well, what about when a cat is rubbing up against you and he's not necessarily hungry?
Well, cats, Phil, you have to understand, exhibit that behavior because they are first of all having a skin irritation. There are parasites. There are a number of reasons the hair, their fur is wrong. There are a number of reasons why an animal will rub up against you. A dog will lick your face for the salt. Dogs have a severe salt shortage in their diet. And
so a dog is licking my face not because he cares about me or because he wants to be with me, but because he needs salt in his diet.
Again, you have to disabuse yourself of the notion that dogs love you. Dogs don't love you. Dogs are kibble whores, milk bone whores, the Sheba whore. And
what is the Sheba whore?
That's a cat food, a kind of cat food. In other words, what I'm saying is that they are depressed. And
are there, now in your book here, I'm sorry to interrupt you because we have to take a break, Doctor.
Yes.
Are there signs that pet owners can look for to know whether their animal is truly depressed? Or
yeah, there are three distinct signs.
All right, they're in the book?
Yes, they are.
Let's talk about them when we come back?
Certainly, Phil.
All right, Dr. Jim Sadler is with us. He's written a book called The Pet You Don't Know. He maintains that most domesticated pets are unhappy and depressed. They are wild, come from wild animals, even though they have been bred down to a domesticated level. They come from a wild breed and, as such, are unhappy in your home. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686 to call the Phil Hendry Show and talk to Dr. Jim Sadler. If you'd like to buy our CD tonight, our Radiothon is underway. Let me give you our Radiothon CD purchasing number, and that's 1-800-260-4534, 1-800-260-4534 to pick up the Best of the Phil Hendry Show CD tonight. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Dr. Jim Sadler is with us, works in animal behavior with an explosive new book called The Pet You Don't Know, and basically exposes the underlying psychological world of sick and unhappy pets. You have domesticated pets unhappy because they're domesticated?
Because they have been removed, Phil, from the wild, absolutely.
But they've been, for generations, have been domesticated animals.
But they have this basic strain of wild animal behavior in them, and you cannot, under any circumstances, you cannot downplay that.
All right, well, how do pet owners know if their animal is unhappy, is depressed?
First of all, most people have no idea how unhappy or sick their animals are, and I think that we have millions and millions of pets out there that are very unhappy, very sick, perhaps need to be put down.
You're talking about euthanizing the animal, or
absolutely putting the animal down.
There are basically three steps in your book that you go through.
If your pet, Phil, there's a lot of things I think a lot of pet owners have to understand. If your pet is scratching a lot, it means he's very unhappy in his own skin and wants to get out, i.e., he wants to exit this life and be at peace. And
all right, so people listening right now, get a pen or a pencil and write this down and sort of watch the behavior, Doctor.
Absolutely. I would look at the behavior of your animal for the next few days and see how they're behaving.
All right, if the pet scratches a lot, it means he is unhappy?
If he is scratching a lot, it means he's unhappy in his own skin. That's psychological animal behavior talk, but it means the animal is unhappy in his own skin. If your animal licks himself or herself a lot, they feel unclean, possibly due to some abuse or rejection from the birth mother, and they want to be put to sleep. And
all right, so if the animal licks himself a lot, and that is how?
Notice the animal start licking itself. It means there's some trauma and some rejection from the birth mother. If the animal bats a toy around, it shows they're aggressive and combative and will eventually turn on you. And so they need to be put to sleep.
All right, so the three things, if your pet is scratching himself a lot, if the animal licks himself a lot, or if your pet bats a toy around, it shows they are aggressive, they feel unclean, or they're unhappy.
That is correct, Phil. And
What do you recommend that people do?
I would... it's the desire of the animal to be put to sleep. I don't know. You can take the animal to a vet and have the vet look at the animal. Maybe there's some megavitamin therapy, but for the most part, the animal wants to be put to sleep.
All right, this is an important book for people who are pet owners. Now, we had something happen today to a little boy in Houston. and it was a 400-pound Bengal tiger. Let me read the story here. Surgeons this morning reattached the right arm of a 3-year-old boy who was attacked by a 400-pound Bengal tiger, but they aren't sure how much use the toddler will have of its limb. Jayton Tidwell of Brazoria was in surgery at Memorial Hermann Children's Hospital for 11 hours, and he's doing good. Doctors aren't sure how much a use of the arm the child will have. The boy stuck his arm through a gap in a tiger cage, a chain-link cage, and the animal ripped his arm off at mid-bicep. Did you hear about this?
No, I did not, Phil. That's shocking.
It is absolutely shocking. The little boy whose uncle had a Bengal tiger, it occurred at the backyard where his uncle Larry Tidwell lives. The boy stuck his arm through a gap in the tiger chain-link cage, and the animal ripped it off mid-bicep. It was a freak accident, said Tracy Olivas, a neighbor who heard the boy screaming when the late afternoon attack occurred. You didn't hear anything about this?
No, I didn't. It's shocking.
Why would a 400-pound... Why does that happen? Now, this is a 400-pound Bengal tiger ripping off the arm of a 3-year-old.
And you're asking me?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, you've got a 400-pound Bengal tiger in the backyard of a guy, and the little kid stuck his arm in the cage, and the tiger ripped his arm. I'm just trying to figure out, why do these things happen?
You know, Phil, it's difficult to know why. It's difficult. I feel like you're ambushing me a little bit.
No, I don't mean to ambush you.
I just don't know. I'd have to see the animal. I'd have to find out why that would happen. I mean, I don't know a lot about the situation.
Well, it was a 400-pound Bengal tiger.
Right, ripped off the arm of a little boy.
Right.
I don't know. It's some kind of a fluke. I know how your talk show hosts are, kind of ambushing the guy, but...
I don't mean to ambush you. I thought maybe you'd have some information on what a 400-pound Bengal tiger would be doing ripping off the arm of a little boy, and...
I'm completely stumped. I'd have to talk to the animal, but look at the animal and find out what's going on. I have no idea. But I will tell you this, that animals can behave in very unpredictable ways, and you have to be ready for it. And
would you say that that's a depressed animal?
The tiger that ripped off the boy's arm?
Yeah, would you say that's an angry or a depressed animal?
I don't know. I don't know why.
He ripped off a little boy's arm. Would you say that that animal, the tiger, is depressed or angry?
Well, see, again, you're kind of ambushing me. And
the little boy...
I know, Phil. The little boy had his arm ripped off.
By a 400-pound Bengal tiger.
Right. What do you want me to say?
Is that animal angry or depressed?
I don't know. I have to look at the tiger and...
Okay, I mean, I'm just trying to get an answer here, okay? And you can't give it?
Phil, I don't want to be ambushed. That's all.
All right, I hold the line here. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry with Dr. Jim Sadler on The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget, we are having our Communism is Neat Best of the Phil Hendry Show 1999 CD Radiothon tonight, and all of the proceeds go to my friend's place. So if you'd like to buy the CD, and we've had a lot of people saying, well, I don't have a computer, Phil, so I can't necessarily buy it online, you can call tonight and get the CD by calling 1-800-260-4534. Dr. Jim Sadler is with us. He dabbles in animal behavior, but your degree is in psychology, correct, doctor?
That's correct, Phil. Psychology and some sociology.
But your book, The Pet You Don't Know, is basically... You're saying something rather revolutionary here. Most pets are depressed, unhappy, and want to be put to sleep.
That is correct, because they're in an unnatural state. The state they're in is a state of... what do you want to call it? They come from wild animals. And now they're domesticated. Okay, so that's unnatural.
Now, the three indications that an animal is unhappy, a pet scratching himself a lot, an animal licking himself, and batting a toy around, this indicates that the animal is essentially trying to leave its environment, right?
Absolutely. Trying to leave the environment, trying to get out of its own skin, feeling a little unclean.
But we got to the story here about the little boy had his arm ripped off by a tiger, and you don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know why you keep going back to that. I mean,
well, I just wondered why you would think a tiger, 400-pound Bengal tiger, ripping the arm off of a little boy.
Yeah, it's got me.
It's got you.
It's got me stumped. I don't know why the animal do that.
Okay.
I mean, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to make me look?
No, I'm not trying to make you look anything. I'm just. It was an interesting story, that's all, okay? Please forgive me, doctor. I don't mean to offend you, okay?
Well, it just seems like you're practicing some kind of ambush journalism deal here, you know? One of those ambush journalism deals.
No, I'm not doing that. I wouldn't do that. Forget I even brought it up, okay? Let me go to a phone call, all right? Eagle Rock on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. You're on the air.
Yes, I can't believe you're a good doctor. I have three dogs.
Right.
Anyone that would question why that animal bit off the arm of the three-year-old, and as I told your interviewer,
right,
it's certainly not the boy's fault,
well,
but the idiot that would keep...
Are you a professional?
Am I what?
Are you a professional?
What do you... I don't understand.
What do you mean you know what... How do you know why the tiger did what it did?
Because it's obviously an angry and depressed animal. Who would keep a 400-pound animal
what gives you in a cage? Why do you feel it was angry and depressed?
Because I'm smart.
It ripped off the arm of a kid.
Right. The kid.
So how do you think? I don't know where your training is from, but I'm a professional.
I don't know where your good doctor.
No, I'm a professional animal behaviorist.
Look, the animal ripped the kid's arm off. Are you saying to me that he liked the kid?
No.
I'm not drawing any conclusions,
Phil. I'm not
Phil.
Saying that at all.
Apparently you're not listening to me. Well, I'm not drawing any conclusions. I don't know where you got your degree, but I, you know what I'm saying?
No, I really don't.
Do you have pets?
Yes, I have three dogs.
Do they lick themselves?
Cats. I'm sorry?
Do they lick themselves?
No, actually they don't.
All right, then you treat
them. They're very spoiled.
So they don't scratch themselves.
I have a 95-pound German Shepherd, a female, and a Chow mix, and a Spaniel, and a Siamese cat, and a gray feral cat.
And do they
and
scratch?
And they're all pretty happy.
They scratch themselves?
I would imagine if they would have a flea.
All right, well, there's depression. See, you don't, you know, you
no,
think you
no,
know.
You're
no,
way
no,
off
no,
the
no,
track.
No, 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 you're way
no,
off base. You're
no,
way
you
off.
You are
no,
off
you're way
the
off.
Track.
Let me say
and
something,
number
ma'am.
One, you're like
I've
George
dealing...
Putnam. You don't let anybody talk
well,
because you're the star of the show.
No, I happen
so
to be
So why do you take
doctor.
Phone calls?
I'm a doctor of animal
behavior. If you
behavior.
Don't want to hear what I have to say,
but, ma'am, you
then don't take
you don't.
Phone
well,
calls.
Well, hold on. Bob, this is the host of the show. Now, let's have some. Ma'am, you're making a comment that Dr. Sadler is saying.
You are the talker.
I am the one
yeah.
who has the degree in animal behavior.
Yeah.
You don't.
How do you
so
know
who,
that?
Who do you think people want to listen to? You? With your animals in Eagle Rock?
You make
or,
a lot more money than I do, so I'm sure they want to hear you, honey.
Well, I'll tell you
so
what.
So you go on, but you, I'll tell you
I'll
one
tell you
thing.
What right now. You got an animal
that... losing show
you got
don't
an animal,
to your collar.
You got an animal scratching himself. You should put that animal to sleep. Hello? She hung up. No guts. God, I hate that.
Well, come on. She was obviously upset. You're making some statements here concerning people's pets, that if they scratch themselves or bat toys around, then they should be put to sleep.
That's correct. Because there's depression. And
well, it would seem to me there's a lot of animals that behave that way.
No. That is an indication, Phil.
In other words, when we have seen animals all these years scratching themselves and licking themselves...
They want back. They want out. Game over. They want out. They are from a wild animal background, domesticated too long.
All right, here's San Diego on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
I think it's a sad day in America where any idiot hawking a book can get on a radio show, call himself a doctor, and tell listeners everywhere that they should put their itchy animals to sleep. That's ridiculous. There are dermatological reasons why animals itch.
Are you a doctor?
Veterinary technician.
a veterinary technician. You know,
hey, look,
I think it's a
sad thing.
Well,
sir,
I said,
Sandler, or
you,
whatever the hell
my
your
name
is.
Dr. Jim Sadler, and yes, I do look at animal behavior, and I look at it in a very
well,
unusual
way.
Well,
you're an way. Idiot. No doctor, no self-respecting doctor on the planet would issue a carte blanche statement about all itchy animals. Any decent doctor
I'm
would
saying,
at least want to see the animals first.
That is very true, but I am saying, given the origins of most domesticated animals, from a wild breed of feral African wild dog or the African wild cat, they are unhappy in a domesticated state, and that is indicative of their scratching, licking, and batting toys around.
Well, I'll go
now,
buy your
six
book
months
when I run
of
out of Charmin.
School. You'll go buy my book when you run out of what, sir?
Charmin.
I don't understand.
Of course you don't. Toilet paper. When I run out of toilet paper,
oh,
I'll go buy your book.
Oh, okay. So now who? So you're going to wipe your ass with my book. Is that it? Now who doesn't have class?
You. You're a complete idiot. And I cannot even believe how irresponsible you are.
I want to get back to the...
You were the radio station for putting you on.
I want to get back to the idea of this Bengal tiger. And
I told you, nobody knows why the tiger ripped the kid's arm off. Why do you keep going down that road? Do you know? No.
The guy in San Diego doesn't know. He's listening to himself again. All right, thank you, sir. Bye. 1-800-449-8686, Spartanburg on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi. The question I have is, have you ever seen a cat? I'm a cat owner. Ever seen a cat that didn't either scratch themselves or didn't either play with a toy if you threw it in front of them?
Uh-huh.
Have you ever seen a cat that didn't lick himself? If you observed a cat for a period of time,
does your cat do this?
I ask you the question, sir. Have you ever seen a cat that didn't do one of those three things that you observed?
I don't know. I think they're perfectly healthy cats that never lick
have
themselves.
Have you ever seen one do that?
Have I ever seen a cat not lick himself? Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. How
of
long
course.
Did you spend around that cat? That you have observed him. How long did you observe him before you came to that?
Well, what am I supposed to sit there and stare at the cat all afternoon?
No,
I've seen
but
cats that don't...
do things like every other animal does. At some point in time,
I answered your question. Now answer mine.
Okay.
Do you have a cat that licks himself?
Yes, I do.
Then you should put the animal to sleep.
Okay. What you're advocating is animal that licks himself.
Any animal that licks himself should be put to sleep.
Right.
We're talking about sodium pentothal, sodium phenobarbital, Phil. It's very humane.
No, we're talking about how do you what brought you to the determination of that licking himself
suffocation
means depression. Why does licking himself equal depression? Why does that equal depression?
If the animal licks itself, they feel unclean, possibly due to some abuse or rejection from the birth mother.
How'd you come to that conclusion?
I've spent an awful lot of time with a lot of animals.
Uh huh.
And I have observed them. I feel I have a simpatico with a lot of them.
You've observed the animal with their
own? I've been with the animal one-on-one. I do a lot of one-on-one.
Okay. Well, then, if an animal is
you can
abused,
go down and
someone
have...
has to abuse it. So
that's
that would
true.
Be the abuser.
Most
so
animals
you would have
that
to
I've
spend
dealt
your time with the owner.
No, I don't
abuser,
get that.
And then you would have to spend time with the cat, both to see if the cat's being abused.
I have spent time with the cat.
Okay.
I've spent hours
you
with
you
cats.
You have no conclusion for your basis.
No,
what you're saying
no, sir.
Is,
I'm seeing a cat right now.
That this equals that, but you're not telling
no.
why it equals that.
I'm seeing a cat right now up in Ventura. I go up. The cat sees me probably three times a week because it's under a lot of pressure.
Uh-huh.
Its owner is an elderly woman.
And what brought you to that determination right there? Why is
the cat obviously is communicating this to me. Its owner is an elderly woman, very
persnickety. Okay, these are assumptions then.
No,
correct,
sir. These are what the animals are.
These are
well, the animals are telling you this?
I'm sorry?
What are you, the animal coming into your office?
It's a particular animal that's that I'm seeing, yeah.
What brought you to the conclusion that the animal is...
under pressure?
Yes.
First of all, the owner of the animal is a 75-year-old woman with a lot of cleaning implements. She's very persnickety.
Mm-hmm.
The bowl is in a certain... the cat box.
Right.
The animal's under a lot of anxious pressure because the cat box is not cleaned regularly.
Okay, so by
a
those
a lot of kibble, a lot of milk bone, this kind of thing.
By those assumptions, you've determined that that causes pressure on a cat.
The cat's under pressure.
Sir, let me ask you to the conclusion.
Right, I'll tell you why.
What you're saying is like
Do you want to sit on a filthy toilet seat? Of course you don't.
Okay, well, you just said animals have no feelings either. You said animals cannot feel love. They don't have feelings like we do. So if they don't have feelings, then they can't perceive.
The cat can be insulted. The cat felt insulted.
Okay, if a cat can feel insulted, then can it have other feelings also?
No.
Okay, but
the only thing
a cat can have is being insulted.
Is feeling insulted.
That's correct, yeah.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's pissed off all the time.
Well, no. Otherwise, it's just stupid.
Okay.
Or it's insulting.
And you just answered all
the questions right there.
You try
living
in
a 75-year-old woman's house. How do you think? You try crapping on a dirty toilet seat.
Feel. You said cats couldn't feel. You said that yourself. You said cats cannot feel like humans do.
You did.
Other than feeling
arrogant. Cats are notoriously arrogant. Your statement was wrong.
You see, first of all, cats believe they're better than human beings. Are you aware of that, sir?
Do you have a cat? You're saying that cats feel.
Do you know that your cat thinks he's better than you?
Okay.
How do you feel about that?
How does that make you feel? Did you not say, sir, cats could not feel?
Wait a minute. I have a cat.
And your cat thinks he's better than you, Phil.
You're telling me that my cat thinks he's better than me?
Yeah. How does it make you feel?
I thought you said cats could not feel. You said cats could not feel emotion or feel like humans feel.
They don't seem to feel emotion because when they look at human beings, they're bored with us.
So generally they don't. So boredom is a feeling. Boredom is just...
Most cats are bored.
Boredom is if they're not in out-and-out pain. Being bored is a feeling.
No.
Okay.
It is not.
Okay. Then why do you use the term, I feel bored? You feel it. It's a feeling you have.
But the cat doesn't use that term. The cat just is bored.
And that's the distinction.
Cats are smarter than people, and that's another thing that pisses me off. And I have a chapter about that in my book.
Okay.
All right, sir, I got to take a break.
Put your mouth forward.
Right, exactly. I think he's nuts. I have to take a break, sir, okay?
Okay,
it's a film.
Oh, you think I'm nuts, huh?
No, there's some things that you're saying that I think need to be cleared up. Phil Hendry Show, our number, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, to talk to Dr. Jim Sadler. Cats feel bored. Or if you want to order our Best of the Phil Hendry Show CD, 1-800-260-4534. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Dr. Jim Sadler. Works in animal behavior is saying that if your cat or dog is scratching himself, licking himself, or batting a toy around, he's depressed and wants to be put to sleep. And you have this insight, doctor, into cats and dogs, but you don't know why a 400-pound Bengal tiger ripped the arm off of a 3-year-old boy.
You know, you keep busting my balls on that, don't you? You just keep...
No, I'm sorry, but I don't understand why... how about this? The Bengal tiger's in a cage and is angry... and decides to lash out at the human beings.
I don't know how you can make that conclusion.
Because he's in a cage. Because he belongs in the wild in India or Africa or Nepal or wherever he's from.
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay, here is Long Beach on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I've been listening to the show, and my only comment is you're saying that you've met with the animals. You're the one that is with them. How do we know that they're not depressed being with you?
Very amusing.
I mean, you're just saying, well, I haven't seen them interact with the owners at all, but they're telling me they're depressed. That's 90% of animals are either playing with toys or grooming themselves.
Well, I don't know. What do you mean 90% of animals? You know, there's an awful lot of people calling in tonight. I don't know what their experience is. How do you know?
Well, I know interaction with animals, I know interaction with people, but the sad thing is you say, I have a doctorate in sociology. Well, there's animal psychology, and you have yet to say that you've gotten any
kind of academic education. There's no such doctorate in animal psychology, none whatsoever.
But you're practicing this by saying that the animal is depressed.
Yes, the animal is depressed.
You cannot make that clinical diagnosis unless you have a doctorate of what, psychology?
No, I did not say that... I was making a clinical analysis. I was saying it is my opinion, based upon experience, that most animals...
That's just one person's opinion.
Most animals want to be put to sleep. Now, if you're angry because you have a pet, do you have a pet?
I have two pets.
All right. I'm sorry to tell you this, but your pets would rather die than live with you.
My pets would rather die they than
would
go
rather
see
die.
Someone like you.
They would rather die than see you come through the door at night. Now, I don't know.
Now, how can you say that?
What?
I can't believe you're saying
that. How can you say that?
What, ma'am, what kind of animals do you have?
I have 2 Cocker Spaniels.
Oh, Jesus. They're nervous. They are completely, they probably...
They're very lovable.
Yeah,
they love to play. They give a lot of love.
What do you mean they're lovable? What? How do they love you? In what way?
They just come up to you and they give you a little attention.
Do they lick you?
If I don't feel well and I'm sick in bed,
right.
They don't want to leave my side.
Do they
lick, worry about me.
Do they lick you?
Yes, they do. They
That's
give me
because
kisses.
They need salt. They don't love you. They need salt. That's all that is.
Most dogs do like salt, but they just like
the reason
humans
why they
like
lick you
salt.
Humans are a main source of salt for dogs. That's why they lick. Other than that, the animal would rather be shot up with phenobarbital than have to spend one more. And Cocker Spaniels are insane.
Where do you get your research?
I'll tell you, first of all,
where you get your research.
What do you mean Cocker Spaniels?
So I have observed Cocker Spaniels. Where do I get my research? 5 years at Johns Hopkins Veterinary School, 4 part of UNESCO. I have also worked with the very esteemed Dr. William Wahlberg, who did most of his studies at the University of Chicago. So I have credentials, ma'am.
Yes,
and I will tell you right now.
Where are your publicized? Do you have published articles
yes,
on this?
Yes. Yeah, University of Indiana. I have 2 pieces that are coming out in the American Veterinary Journal in August. Now, I would say that Cocker Spaniels, you just as soon put a plastic bag over their head and throw them into a lake.
I can't believe you're saying something like
You would be doing
like that.
The animal a favor.
That is an inhumane.
That
thing
is an
for
absolutely insane thing.
I can't believe you're saying something like that.
Oh come on, lady! You see the Cocker Spaniel licking your face for salt, depressed in every manner, way, shape, and form.
Well, if you want to say animals for doing anything, even scratching themselves, humans have dandruff or body lice. You're going to say kill them too? Put them under?
Are you depressed? Do you want to kill yourself if you have body lice?
No, I don't.
Well,
I
the
don't
animal
have
does.
Either. I just
well,
thought,
a cat
well,
and dog
about
do.
Animal behavior.
Well, a dog does. So there you go.
I just don't think you have that.
Well,
the
you don't
academic
think.
Background nor
you
the
know.
Traditional
well, I do.
Training to pass
I just
judgment.
Gave you my resume, ma'am.
Well, all right. We'd like to check that resume out. Thank you very much for your call, ma'am.
Thank you.
1-800-449-8686. Kennesaw on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Jump in with both feet here. How in the hell can you call yourself a doctor, sir?
I have a degree.
I don't understand. What are you talking about?
You know, a degree in doctorate.
Every dog and cat plays with toys.
They're depressed.
You know, every dog, every cat, all
they're
the pets.
Miserable.
No, sir.
Yes,
I don't
yes,
agree
madam.
With you. If
well,
you
ma'am,
see
you may
my
not agree
pets,
with me.
They are the happiest pets alive.
Which pets?
Dogs.
No.
You know, fixing to get a bird. You don't.
You're fixing to get a bird.
Yes, sir. I'm.
Ma'am. Birds are among the most depressed
every
animals.
Dog, every
They're in a
cat,
cage.
Every pet licks themselves, scratch themselves,
right.
Play with toys.
Do you lick
it
yourself?
Mean they're
no, you don't.
And they want to be killed.
If you licked yourself, wouldn't it be safe to say you were depressed or at least lonely?
No, sir.
No?
No, sir.
If you licked yourself,
sir,
you
I do not agree with you.
I'd advise against the bird.
About the tiger. The tiger was angry. You don't keep a 400-pound tiger in a cage.
How
sir.
Do you figure that?
How can you sit there and tell
I don't
Mr.
Understand.
Phil?
Did you see the movie?
You.
Did you see the movie The Birds?
Yes, sir.
All right. You know what happened to Tippi
yes,
Hedren? She got her eyes plucked out or whatever the hell.
Yes.
What
sir.
Was it, Phil?
I don't know. Was that an Alfred Hitchcock thing?
Right.
But
all birds want to attack in large groups. When I get depressed, I will
like
tell you
animals.
This much. When
it's
I get depressed, I do tend to try to lick myself.
Oh, great. Well,
I'm saying this. No, ma'am.
Right there.
No, ma'am. I'm simply saying this because. I got very upset one night, and I got stood up. So naturally, I went home and attempted to lick myself. It's purely natural.
Sir, you can't say just because a dog wants to play with itself.